Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our strategy to tackle climate change is the sum of everything you've heard today, from reducing traffic congestion to building cleaner, more efficient power plants to improving the efficiency of buildings. And even though our population is continuing to grow under this plan, by 2030, we will shrink our city's carbon footprint by 30%, the most dramatic reduction in greenhouse gases ever achieved by any American city.
Everybody in Albany is asking the right questions, approaching this with goodwill. Many people have already articulated support. Some are saying we need to know more. Some are saying I'm a little hesitant, and we will try to be persuasive.
Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Spitzer speaking weeks apart on the mayor's congestion pricing proposal to drive in Manhattan below 86th Street. Now, there is no agreement yet on a plan, with a couple of deadlines looming large. The New York State Legislature is scheduled to begin its summer break on Thursday. They need a plan in addition by mid-August to get an estimated $500 million in federal funds. Meanwhile, Governor Corzine in New Jersey is worried the congestion pricing scheme might work too well. He says New Jersey Transit could be overwhelmed with new commuters. So we will get two views from Albany now on some of the finished and unfinished business before Thursday's summer break and the first 6 months of steamrolling Spitzer and his administration. We'll also play a clip from an event that I moderated where New Jersey's number two man, the second most powerful New Jersey politician under Governor Corzine, seemed to endorse congestion pricing. But with us now, Democratic State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan, whose district lies partly within the congestion pricing zone, and Republican State Senator Marty Golden of Brooklyn. Welcome back, Senators, to both of you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Senator Krueger, last I heard, it was the Democrats in the legislature, led by Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who are not yet ready to vote for congestion pricing, while the Republicans are ready. Is that still the case this morning?
Well, only Marty could answer for the Republicans, but I haven't noticed a great movement by my Senate Republican colleagues to support congestion pricing. And I think all of us, regardless of party, have been asking hard questions that we need answers to about the mayor's congestion pricing proposal. And in fact, the bill changed dramatically over the weekend. So the bill we're looking at now is very different than the bill we were talking about last week.
Are you for it as is? And what changed?
Okay, we took I support congestion pricing, but the devil is in the details. And it's all tied to making sure we do the expansion of mass transit before we implement the changes in the pricing, because if you're asking people to get out of their cars and move into my district by mass transit, buses and subways and trains, you better make sure you have those available.
So this is similar to what I've been hearing from lawmakers from Brooklyn and Queens, for example, who say first put into place a 30-minute or 40-minute mass transit commute to Manhattan, and then I'll vote for congestion pricing. You're saying the same thing.
Well, I'm saying we have to be reality-based because we're asking people to get on mass transit. So we've got to give them mass transit. And my district is almost exclusively within the zone. So I have a great appreciation for how desperate we are to get the cars off the roads, because it's bad for everyone the way it's operating now.
All right. Senator Golden, on this revision of the plan, which was put forth by the Senate Republican leader, Joe Bruno, Speaker Silver in the Assembly says your side's plan diverts too much of the congestion pricing revenues to things other than mass transit. What changed?
Well, I think the whole discussion is about a consensus, trying to get a consensus between the Assembly, the Senate, the mayor, the governor, and making sure that we can come up with a package that we all believe will work for the city of New York. You're not going to get everybody agreeing on this. It's a very controversial plan, and it is costly. It's costly to the people of my community and the communities outside the city of New York.
Tell us exactly which communities in Brooklyn you represent.
I represent the communities between Bay Ridge, the southwest portions of Brooklyn. That would be Bay Ridge, Dyke of Bensonhurst, Marine Park, Sheepshead Bay, Borough Park, Midwood, those areas by the Verrazano Bridge, and those areas out by East Flatbush, which those are the areas that you would see using vehicles to go into the city of New York because it is less...
served by mass transit.
Correct.
Now, are you ready to vote yes, however, under this plan put forth by your leader in the Senate, Joe Bruna?
I believe that we're waiting to see if the Assembly comes along, and we're ready to put a plan into action and to vote for a plan that will bring additional mass transit to my community and to the communities across the city of New York.
Does the bill as written do that?
I believe it does. The both bills did mass transit programs. Now, there's a discussion on as to how much money is going towards these programs. I believe the only reason I'm going into it is because I need express buses from my community into the city. I need additional trains going into the city. I need additional ferries going into the city. We need additional transportation all around to be able to make this plan work for
and,
people.
And you're saying the bill as written helps you do that?
Yes, it does.
So, Liz Krueger, you are representing the east side of Manhattan. Here's your colleague from the outer reaches of Brooklyn saying, yeah, the bill gives us that additional mass transit that you were saying they should have, but you're not ready to vote for it?
Well, no, I'm much more comfortable with the bill this week than the bill we had last week, because last week's bill had not just congestion pricing, it had a special brownfields law for the city that allowed for self-certification, it had a section on three new public authorities, it had no mechanism for the legislature to review the pilot after the first 3 years. I think we've come a long way between last week's bill and this week's bill. So again, I'm studying the bill. My gut is congestion pricing that ties the money into expansion of mass transit is exactly what I want and what's in the best interest of my district. So I can see myself passing a bill that, if not exactly this bill, is very close to this bill. And Senator Golden and I don't always agree. So I'm delighted that he also recognizes that it's a win for his community if we expand mass transportation options to get fewer cars moving across from Brooklyn to Manhattan.
Well, here, Senator Krueger, is where you may not agree with your party mates in the Assembly, because reading a headline from today's New York Times, Senate Republicans propose changes to congestion plan, mass transit aid would be sharply cut. And that's what bothers Sheldon Silver. He says, you know, this was supposed to fund mass transit. The governor, the mayor got up there and said, look, this is, you know, almost a self-funding plan. We get revenue from the extra tolls or whatever you want to call them to drive in Manhattan below 86th Street, and that money is going to go to beef up mass transit. But this compromise bill from the Senate Republicans, as the Times put it, mass transit aid would be cut sharply, and Silver says that's why he's not ready to go along. Are you concerned about that?
Yes, that's why I'm saying the devil's in the details. So I support a bill that moves the money into expanded mass transit and gets the cars off the streets in Midtown and Lower Manhattan. I share the concerns of, I believe, the Speaker of the Assembly and everyone who understands that legislation is not a press release. Legislation is the details of who's doing what when, and this has all been moving very quickly by anyone's standards, not even Albany's standards.
But I'm trying to square the two.
So if we need to make sure the language is correct in the bill to move the money into mass transit, then that's what we'll get. That's what we need to do.
But I'm trying to square the two, because on the one hand, it says this bill would take money away from extra funding for mass transit, but we're hearing from Senator Golden that the bill gives him the extra mass transit that he needs, at least in his district. So how can both things be true at the same time? Senator Golden?
I'm not, I don't know what the, some of the issues that are being discussed by the Assembly.
Right.
I know they discussed it till about 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, and they weren't happy with the bill. But, you know, nobody has a good plan. Nobody wants to put a plan forward. The mayor has put a plan forward, and a plan that I think is needed for the city of New York. I was in Manhattan the other day, and it took me 40 minutes to get 5 blocks to 45th Street and Madison Avenue. 40 minutes, 6 blocks. I parked my car last week downtown because I couldn't get through traffic, and it took me 15 minutes by train. And these cars, these trucks, are the ones that are creating the greenhouse gases, about 20% of it in the city of New York. We have to do something. So if it's not this plan, and if the Assembly is not happy with the plan that the Senate put forward, put your own plan forward, Assembly, and let's deal with your plan. We don't have till mid-August. We have till mid-July. This plan is due August 1st. So this has to, we lose that $500 million if we don't have a plan on the table by July 21st so that they can look at it on August 1st. So the devil, again, is in the details, like my colleague has said, but you got to put the devil on the paper so we can read it, so we can understand what the Assembly is talking about. Right now, we haven't seen that, and if they're serious and they want to do something about this, then they should let us see what their plan is. Here's the problem. If we don't do this plan, if people in the city of New York don't believe that we're going to do something in this city shortly, you're going to have to either toll those bridges, which I think will happen probably next year if this plan doesn't go down, or this plan doesn't get passed, you'll wind up seeing the tolls on the bridges. So you're going to see some form of congestion pricing, whether we go with this plan or we don't. It's only a matter of time.
State Senator Marty Golden, Republican from Brooklyn. State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from Manhattan, as we talk about the congestion pricing bill and other things that the state legislature in Albany is trying to get done before their summer vacation is supposed to start on Thursday. I actually want to cross the Hudson for a minute because I wonder how either of you react to Governor Corzine's concern that New Jersey Transit is not equipped for all the new commuters that congestion pricing in Manhattan would mean. Now, New Jersey doesn't have a say like you do in the state legislature. You can pass it even if you dismiss Corzine's concern. But Senator Krueger, how should New York account for New Jersey's transit burden?
Well, you know, New York and New Jersey are a joint region for transportation. We're all interdependent. And, of course, we have the Port Authority, that is a joint authority of both states that plays a heavy role in determining transportation, both mass transit and the bridges and tunnels. So, in fact, if New Jersey has, quote-unquote, a problem, and I'm not quite sure how Governor Corzine has spelled that out yet, if they have a problem, then they need to explore speeding up, in coordination with us, their mass transit options.
Because what you're debating here so far between the two of you this morning is whether the bill in New York allocates the needed additional money for more mass transit to compensate for the congestion pricing in New York State. I guess it's not for the New York State legislature to allocate money to New Jersey's mass transit system, but you acknowledge their problem?
Well, look, I'll acknowledge that when we change our rules and our policies on Manhattan Island, it affects New Jersey commuters for work and for tourism and fun. But I'll also remind people, we have the Port Authority, which works for both states jointly. And some of us in New York actually feel that the Port Authority has been biased towards New Jersey mass transit over New York mass transit. So if they have to focus a little bit more of their investment in expanding New Jersey mass transit, that's actually a win for both states.
Interesting.
And Brian, this is a pilot, Brian. I think that's what we have to focus on. This is a pilot program, and there are going to be some mistakes made, and we want to make sure that we correct those imbalances and to make sure that transportation works for the region. We don't want to impact other states, and that's why we're calling it a pilot. And I think at the end of the day, this pilot will probably be successful, and we will obviously look, the region will look at that imbalance and correct it.
Now, I want to put a clip here on the record. A few weeks ago, I moderated a panel for the Regional Plan Association, which included speeches by both Mayor Bloomberg on this and Governor Corzine when he was in the hospital, his number two man, Gary Rose, his chair of the New Jersey Office of Economic Growth, who many people consider really the number two man right under Corzine in the state government in New Jersey. And he quoted JFK saying, "We share a bond in the air that we breathe and the planet that we live in." And he appeared to endorse on behalf of Corzine the congestion pricing plan. We taped that panel. Let's give a listen.
Those are the principles behind our obligation to build a cleaner, greener, and sustainable future. And the principles reflected in Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Spitzer's ambitious new proposals. We are lucky to live in a place with such forward-thinking leaders. Looking at the trajectory of our efforts, I can't help but wonder if we finally reached a point where we don't just share a common vision, but are converging on a set of common ideas about how to realize it.
So Senator Krueger, Gary Rose, speaking in place of Governor Corzine, who was supposed to be the keynote speaker that morning a few weeks ago at the Waldorf. Seemed like the Corzine administration was very favorably disposed as of that moment.
Right. Gary Rose sounded just like me a minute ago. I think the recognition that we are a regional economy, that we are one country when it comes to air quality and health and safety, and we are one region when it comes to transportation and our economic future. So yes, maybe New Jersey will need to change some of what it's doing to reflect what New York needs to do to take care of our future, but it's a win-win ultimately.
Now, before we go on to a few of the other pieces of unfinished business that the legislature has in New York before the summer vacation is supposed to start on Thursday, and also to a bit of an assessment of the first 6 months of the steamrolling Spitzer administration, the steamroller has threatened to call you all back into special session in midsummer, bring you back from your vacations to deal with congestion pricing if necessary because of the August deadline for up to $500 million in federal funds. So, Senator Golden, is that a big enough incentive to get a deal hammered out in the next 2 days, do you think?
No. You have to go slowly. You have to make sure that the bills that you pass over the next couple of days are good bills that work for the city and state of New York. So it's not worth putting out a bad bill that you have to correct 2 years from now. So this will not be the first summer that we've come back, and it won't be the last. And I would expect that we'll be back not only in the summer, but we'll be back in October and November as well. You have some serious bills that have to be discussed here. You have the Article 10, the transmissions bill. You have DNA. We have medical marijuana that's being discussed. These are different bills that some will go and some will not go. A death penalty bill. We just finished Wicks law. We're finishing up 421A, and we're talking about cameras on the school buses. These are different legislations that work for the city, pieces of legislation that work for the city and state, and they got to be well thought out, well planned, and then they have to be implemented. So that got to be by a process. Mm-hmm. When we speed the process up, we make the mistakes, and then you got to come back and revisit it.
So how much would a burden? How much of a burden would this be, Liz Krueger? Where do you expect to be around August 1st?
Very well, possibly in Albany. I agree that, you know, we have a lot of work to do for the state of New York. We are technically still a part-time legislature, but speaking for myself, this is a job you need to do full year on behalf of your constituents in the state of New York. So we get called back up here in a couple of weeks, fine. We get called back up here each month, even though technically we're not in session, fine. Now, there's a lot of bills that Senator Golden just mentioned that we could have and should have gotten done already, and let's see where we get in the next 2.5 days. But on congestion pricing, a massive set of complex issues for a region of the country, do we really need to move a bill that is only one house right now on Tuesday before the last few days of this week? No, we're not going to pass that bill this week, but we absolutely must get back here and get a good, solid bill passed.
You're predicting no congestion pricing bill by Thursday.
I think that's right.
All right. Well, I will be passing through Albany myself in early August, but only passing through on my way to the Adirondacks. Hopefully I won't pass you on the thruway as you're heading back to work there, but it sounds like that's a likely outcome from what you were both saying. Okay, we're going to continue with both of you in a minute. Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from Manhattan, Senator Marty Golden, Republican from Brooklyn, and we'll talk about some of those other unfinished business issues that you raised, medical marijuana, DNA testing for all convicted felons, and more. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, thanks to Mike Pesca for filling in yesterday. I was off because I had a late night on Sunday, so I took a vacation day yesterday. I took my 9-year-old to the Yankees-Mets game Sunday night. Lucky enough to have 2 tickets. It was a great way to spend Father's Day with my Yankee fan son. Now, we're walking home from the subway just after midnight, and he turns to me and says, "Daddy, is it past 12 o'clock yet?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, Father's Day is over. The focus is back on me." All right. I'm sure many of you parents can relate to that. But very few people have stated it as explicitly as my son Simon did. Now, here's a reminder. On Thursday night, maybe you've heard about this already, I will be interviewing Democratic presidential hopeful John Edwards one-on-one at the Great Hall of Cooper Union. And you can come see this for free if you like. This is part of the series they're doing, created by Mario Cuomo, to let candidates go into real depth on selected issues. So Edwards will give a speech for about 45 minutes. We expect it to be about poverty and the middle class, but that's the format. It's a one-topic speech. And then I'll do a 30-minute follow-up interview with him on that topic based on what he says. So that's Thursday night at the Great Hall of Cooper Union, 7th Street and 3rd Avenue in Manhattan at 6 p.m. They distribute the free tickets first come, first serve, beginning at 4 o'clock that afternoon, Thursday afternoon. So just show up if you'd like to be in the audience for that. We continue to talk about the unfinished business as they move toward summer vacation on Thursday in the New York State Legislature. My guests, Democratic Senator Liz Krueger of the East Side of Manhattan, Republican State Senator Marty Golden of Flatbush, and what did you say, from Flatbush down to Bensonhurst?
Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge, Marine Park, Garrison Beach, Sheepshead Bay, it's Midwood, Borough Park.
That's a big district.
It is, Gravesend.
I guess it's less densely populated than the east side of Manhattan, because you definitely have more geography there, don't you?
It still only takes me about 25 minutes, though, to get from one end to the other.
All right. You mentioned, Senator Golden, medical marijuana as a piece of unfinished business in the legislature. Do you support it, and where does that bill stand?
No, I do not support it, and I don't think it's going to get passed. I think it's a disaster in California. The federal government has just about said it's illegal. So I don't know how you can purchase the marijuana to be able to start growing this marijuana, which you can grow in your basements, your backyards, and on your roofs. I think it's there's just no sensible plan put forward for this to happen. In 2007, marijuana was used for the sickness that is created by the chemo and the radiation. We have drugs today that take care of that, and that's what we should be giving out as prescription drugs, both for the relief of the sickness that's caused by it and for pain relief.
You think this is really a backdoor way to legitimize recreational marijuana?
Well, you can see by the numbers in California, the numbers of arrests, it's a disaster. The drug mills outside these distribution points, it's just a plain disaster in California.
Senator Krueger?
I couldn't disagree more. We know in the year 2007 that, in fact, the war on drugs when it comes to marijuana has always been a failure, and that we have much more serious drug problems to deal with, and that for people who are suffering from cancer and other illnesses involving radiation and chemotherapy, it is the most effective drug out there for them. It is far less dangerous than many of the drugs we offer by prescription but aren't doing the job. We should pass the bill in the Senate that the Assembly has been moving, which would allow people to legally use marijuana when prescribed by their doctors. And then we should not make the mistake of California and try to define where legal marijuana is grown. We should leave it to a don't ask, don't tell policy, where if you are prescribed by a physician to need to use this drug that frankly is readily available, that you are allowed to do so, because it's just too cruel to allow ill people to continue to face criminal violations when they're just trying to medicate with the correct low dosage of a drug that's not nearly as dangerous as other drugs we prescribe.
That no, don't ask, don't tell policy would be regardless of sexual orientation, I presume, right?
Yes, sir. You want to talk about the gay marriage law also?
No, hold on a second. Dr. Krueger, it is not the most effective drug for those with radiation and chemo. That is not the most effective.
But Dr. Golden, why would you question the judgment of those MDs who say that it is for their particular patients?
Well, I got it, the question, and I think the question is out there. How do you distribute this? How does this get distributed? How do you get marijuana in the city of New York? Where would you do this?
So, Dr. Krueger, what about the marijuana mills?
Senator Krueger, I did not go to medical school, despite Senator Golden.
You're all doctors on this bill.
I would respect that doctors do know what is the right medications for their ill patients. And the truth is, and Senator Golden knows this also, that if someone goes out and looks for marijuana In today's world, they can find it.
So that's okay then?
You know what? In order to not penalize sick people just trying to get the drug that has been prescribed to them, yes, do not penalize them.
All right.
Do not
today,
have
so
a criminal charge for using.
All right, we're not going to settle this one.
If crack cocaine makes you feel better, should we do that next year?
Well, in fact, drugs that are in the cocaine family can be prescribed by doctors. Morphine can be prescribed
this
by doctors.
True.
There's the irony.
That is.
All right.
Do we go to that next year? Do we go with crack cocaine next year?
Well, you know what? We don't need to go with crack cocaine because there's no doctors out there saying that they don't have a prescription medicine that will address the need.
And all right, not all doctors recommend marijuana.
We'll call you Agent Kruger and Agent Golden, but we will go on to the next topic. And Senator Kruger, you raised it. Governor Spitzer has proposed a same-sex marriage law. Where does it stand?
Well, the Assembly passed it through their Judiciary Committee last night on party lines, and I am a co-sponsor of previous versions of this bill here in the Senate, and look forward to being able to pass it in the New York State Senate, although I think Senator Golden and I will agree that's not coming to the floor in the next 2.5 days.
Senator?
No, it's not coming to the floor is right. This is not something that we should be doing in 2.5 days. There are a lot of things that have to get done. Congestion pricing is one. Transmission lines going into the city of New York so the lights don't go out. That's an issue that should be done. Death penalty for those that would kill cops across the state. And we have another state trooper shot upstate New York again last night. Thank God she's still alive. DNA. These are issues so we can get DNA for not only felons, for all misdemeanor arrests, so that we have a DNA file so that we can take the criminals off the street. These are the issues that the people in the city of New York, 421A, IDAs, ICIPs, these are the things that people in the city of New York, that brings jobs, it brings economic development, it brings education, it brings dollars to our city. This is what people want to hear about, a better quality of life, not about gay marriage, marijuana, and other issues in the last 3 to 4 days.
What about the DNA proposal? Testing of all convicted felons. This is a proposal from the governor. Testing of all convicted felons in exchange for access to DNA information to exonerate the wrongly imprisoned. Senator Kruger, is that a good trade-off?
You know, it's an important bill, and again, the devil's in the details. We have to make sure that no one is not given their rightful opportunity to get the DNA evidence and other kinds of physical evidence so that they can legally argue in court their own innocence. We have problems that we've got DNA backed up without anybody doing tests on it, so we need to invest in an expanded DNA system, but there is no reason.
In other words, there are people in prison proclaiming their innocence, and we know that some of them really do turn out to be innocent.
That's right. They get exonerated when they get access to the DNA evidence.
And DNA relevant to those cases, identified as relevant to those cases, but not being tested?
Correct. And we still have a huge backlog in physical evidence that is yet to be tested and entered into our database. So, yes, we need to move forward on DNA, but we need to make sure we're doing it right so we get all of the evidence and we make it available to all those concerned.
And everybody who's convicted of a felony shouldn't just have to give over a DNA sample like they give fingerprints today?
Actually, I am fine with everyone convicted of a felony.
You are.
I would be
DNA.
Fine with everybody convicted of a misdemeanor. DNA, we've already done the bill in the Senate. Again, the Assembly has not done their bill. So if the Assembly doesn't do their bill, we will have no bill this year. Governor's waiting for the bill. We've done it.
Last thing. On the governor's record so far, we're about to hit 6 months of the Spitzer administration. I said last thing. I may bring up one more piece of legislation. But remember what the governor said when he won the election last November? He said this.
The New York we seek will require a new brand of politics, a break from the days when progress was measured by the partisan points you scored or the opponents you beat. From here on out, we need a politics that binds us together, a politics that's forward-looking, a politics that asks not what's in it for me, but always what's in it for us.
State Senator Marty Golden, Republican from Brooklyn, did everything change on day one, as Governor Spitzer promised?
No, I think he became part of the problem. He became more partisan. He became more dictatorial. And you just can't do that. And I think Senator Liz Krueger would have to agree. You just can't. You have to be able to work with the legislature. You have to be able to work with both sides. It is a process. You just can't come up and say, this is what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. This is what I want you to do, and do it. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, I don't agree at all. I think that Governor Spitzer has come in here and is working very hard to turn a ship around that was going down the wrong direction. We got a resolution to the Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit. We've got workers' compensation reform. We are moving forward with public authorities reform, with the agencies that were basically dead and non-existent now being filled with top-notch people who are moving action. Even when the legislature gets into arguments, and partly that's our job, we've got state agencies now moving forward to actually implement laws, to make sure they're enforced, to reevaluate old, antiquated regulations that made no sense and were ruining people's opportunities in the state of New York. I think Governor Spitzer's too conservative on a number of my issues. It doesn't mean that I don't think that he has significantly changed not just what's happening in the Capitol and the legislative chambers, but in every state agency in the state. And I'm very optimistic about our future with him as the leader.
There's a scathing column in the Daily News today by the sharp-tongued Albany watcher Bill Hammond. Headline, "The Incredible Shrinking Gov." Caught up in Albany inside baseball, Spitzer is drifting away from bold reforms that we need. And it says, the guy who barreled into office vowing to change everything is reduced to dickering with the legislature over video game violence and the fat content of school snacks. Spitzer fell into one of Albany's worst habits, engaging in secret negotiations with legislative leaders and selected interest groups. As a result, state government still does business pretty much the same way as ever, behind closed doors, and that's ultimately why Spitzer's reform agenda stalled. Senator Krueger, no?
No. Is there still too much of that? Yes. The budget process, I think we flunked on the process side. The end of session, we will see what happens, but we've been having public six-way leader meetings. The frustration for me is watching those meetings and wondering, frankly, why Senator Bruno isn't willing to have more open dialogue and move more issues.
Real quick, on one issue that the New York Times editorial page in the city section on Sunday labeled the number one piece of unfinished business, campaign finance reform. Senator Golden, the editorial says, Senate Republicans don't want to give up easy money from a loophole for limited liability corporations. Does that sound like the truth to you?
Well, there's a whole host of reasons why campaign finance is not getting done. And we'll start with just one simple one called 527s, where you pour millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into them, and nobody knows who's behind them, and they're attack ads. They only want to talk about one segment
that's
of
the
campaign
that's
finance.
The federal law, right?
Yeah. So here's the problem. The problem is you've got to deal with campaign finance totally. And campaign finance should have been done. And it will get done someday. But you're not going to do it over 2 days before the end of session. And if you want to talk about Elliot Spitzer, you tell me one thing he's done. He's done nothing. We've $11 billion we added to this budget, $124 billion budget. This is the highest budget ever. This man, he's trying, and I'm going to give him, you know, I failed him in the beginning. I gave him an F at the budget. I think he's trying to do really hard to come up with some legislative results, but he's not getting there. He is up to a D, and hopefully over the next several months he can get himself up to a C.
Well, that would be improvement. That might be enough improvement to get him some pay under Mayor Bloomberg's plan for student improvement. But that's a topic.
You know,
for
Brian, I'm not going to let Marty have the last line there. The Senate Republicans.
But wait a minute. The LLCs, the limited liability corporations. Does that mean real estate companies?
Yes, no, mostly it does.
No, it
and
doesn't.
The fact
it means
that Joe
lawyers.
Bruno's been stopping any campaign finance reform from going forward.
Lawyers and real estate developers.
It's about different law practices and accountant firms. They're all LLCs.
What kind of campaign finance do we have if the lawyers and the real estate developers can contribute large sums?
Well, I think you have to have a fair and balance. If you're going to focus on one portion of campaign finance, LLCs, then you're missing the picture as well, Brian.
But
there's
fact,
a whole
proposal-
host of issues here with this campaign finance that are wrong. And if the Eliot Spitzer hung his whole process here the past 3 weeks on campaign finance, well, shame on him. He should have changed his strategy and tried to move into a different strategy where he could have got results with the legislature instead of being narrow-minded on one subject.
Oh, he has not. Look, we've been trying to push a whole agenda of issues. Brian asked about campaign finance. There has been a series of solid proposals, including the Clean Elections Reform Law, being discussed in this legislature for years. New York City has moved forward. The federal government has moved forward, even though there are problems, and I agree with you, at 527, and yet Albany refuses to move at all. The Senate Republicans refuse to move at all.
And
you guys proposed so many additional tax cuts and spending during the budget period that we were jokingly calling you the borrow and spend party.
That is where
so
we have
attack,
to leave it.
Senator,
summer vacation for the state legislature begins on Thursday, but according to both of our guests, Democratic State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan and Republican State Senator Marty Golden of Brooklyn, they will be back by the beginning of August to pick up the congestion pricing debate before the mid-August deadline for federal funding. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye-bye. Lehrer on WNYC. We'll continue in a minute with a niece, though she wasn't a biological niece, of Saddam Hussein, talking about Iraq. Stay with us.